On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This here Gambit, and I stole this episode of Tooncast just for you, Shad.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Hello and welcome to episode 33 of Tooncast Beyond, brought to you by Geekcast Radio Network and Audible.com. I'm your host, Steve Jomek, and joining me is JT from Saskatoon. Hello.
And how are you?
I'm okay.
The allergies have taken you from us yet, Mike?
No, not yet. It's been a plague over the last 3 months.
Pox on you in your house?
Apparently. Today we're going to be talking about Fantastic Four, World's Greatest Heroes. Oh, God. Ugh. All right. To set the stage for this, Fantastic Four, WGH, is an animated television series based on the Marvel Comics Fantastic Four comic book series and the movie itself. The series is the team's fourth foray into animation and combines two-dimensional art and three-dimensional computer animated produced by the France-based animation company Moonscope. Ugh. Scoop, whatever. Whether it's an ice cream scoop or a scope mouthwash, it doesn't matter. Nothing can wash the bad taste of this show out of my mouth.
Oh, I don't disagree on that.
It was also produced by Moonscope Division Taffy. And where do they... where did they come up with these fucking names? Taffy Entertainment.
It's a European company.
Oh, my God. All in collaboration with Cartoon Network. In the United States, the show suffered an erratic airing schedule on Cartoon Network. Well, what show doesn't suffer an erratic airing schedule on Cartoon Network?
On any network.
Yeah. Having premiered as part of Toonami on September 2nd, 2006, but only running for 8 of the season's 26 episodes before being pulled. Without explanation, it returned to the network starting June 9th. 2007, shortly before the release of the film Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer. But again, only 9 further episodes were aired, leaving 9 installments unaired in the USA. The show aired on Boomerang for a brief time before moving to the Nicktoons Network to air the final episodes. Episodes unaired in the US began airing in the Nicktoons Network in the winter of 2009. Alright, so... what are your first impressions on this show, sir?
Douchiest Johnny Storm ever.
What else?
I honestly, aside from that, and I wish they would have given an explanation why the cosmic radiation spray painted a 4 on the thing's chest. But aside from that, I really did dig this series. I thought it was really well done, all things considered. Probably my favorite version of Mr. Fantastic in animation. Just, I think they just kind of took the absurdity of the fact that this guy is a living pile of city putty and took it to the logical extremes. The character designs, I dug those. Just Sue Storm looked like she had a really long face. Like not a horse face, but just kind of a long face. And, yeah, I dug the series. I dug the fact that they kind of, sort of made it jibe with the Fantastic Four films because they referenced the space station accident and that's how they got their powers and all that. And overall, I liked the series. very much, except for one character. And I'm all for, because the classic thing in the comic books, if you know Fantastic Four comic books at all, one of the greatest quote unquote rivalries is the Fred and Barney of the Fantastic Four, the Thing and the Human Torch. And Johnny and Ben have always been back and forth, pranking each other and picking on each other and all that, as they are wont to do. But when this show came out, and within the first 5 minutes, I wanted to smack this Johnny Storm about the head and shoulders with a 2x4 that said bag of oranges written on the side, because that's all that character deserves. But aside from my obvious rage at this character, I did love the series. And like I said, one of the best things about it is the fact that they do make it kind of line up with the movies. I mean, the fact that in the episode where they introduce the puppet master as, he's the stepfather of, the Thing's girlfriend. He's gone on the beach trying to find clay to mold stuff with, and the Fantastic Four is there basically to pick up some junk from the space station that irradiated them. And this gives the puppet master his powers. And from then on, it was a great show. And again, like you're saying in the description there, yeah, this thing's sporadic as all hell. Like, I watched it on Teletoon here in Canada, also on YTV sometimes.
Right.
But it's just, yeah, it wasn't just sporadic, it was schizophrenic.
The series is on Netflix. I've seen, I think, like the first two or three episodes. I haven't seen a lot of this show. But yeah, you're right. Just that one character development or lack of character development there, and the ultimate douchebaggeriness and dickery of Johnny in this series, just it takes all the fun out of it. It really does, because the whole point of Ben versus Johnny is it's lighthearted fun with
Yeah, it's
issues at.
good-natured back and forthness. It's
Well, it
they're
is, but there
brothers,
are
is what they
also
are.
right, but there are also between Johnny and Ben, there are also issues that are rooted deep in there with Ben specifically about. He doesn't want to be this monster. He wants to be Ben Grimm again.
Yeah.
Johnny, he has to live up to, Reed and Sue and all that stuff, so he's got his own issues. But I mean, the back and forth has never been about one or the other just being a complete douchebag to each other.
Yeah, I
That's
mean, there's been, like, in the comic books, there's been how many things over the years, and this is one of my favorite, the relationships in a comic book,
right.
is Johnny and Ben. I mean, one of my favorite things from a few years ago was an issue drawn by this guy, Mike Wieringo, who sadly passed away, where it's basically the whole issue is back and forth between Ben and Johnny, and Ben spray paints basically a hot air balloon with his face, fills it full of water, and tosses it off the roof of the Baxter Building onto a sun tanning Johnny. They never had something that was funny and, like, dare I say, lovable like that. No, it's basically Ben pranks Johnny, and then Johnny is just a constant dick to Ben.
Yeah.
And I would give this thing a full two thumbs up if not for the fact that Johnny is such a raging, arrogant a-hole.
Yeah. Exactly.
But there are times when even Reed gets in and gives Johnny a little comeuppance in a couple episodes where he pimps out Johnny's hot rod with, like, flowers and bubbles coming out the exhaust pipe, and I'm just like, yes, suck it. But aside from the Johnny hate, which I could talk forever on that, it's the this episode, like I said, because or this show, because it's more or less loosely based within the movie universe of Fantastic Four, does basically movie versions of many of the characters that have been associated with the FF, like the Puppet Master, the Mole Man, Impossible Man, Doctor Doom, looks like he's 9 feet tall and as thin as a supermodel, but it's more so the fact that this is like the traditional Doctor Doom with the scarred face and not the living metal Doctor Doom that they made him in the movie. And they had Iron Man show up, they had Hulk, Ant-Man, they had some heroes show up. They brought in the Fightful Four, which is the classic evil version of the Fantastic Four with the Wizard and Dragon Man and all that. I mean,
Right.
they did. There are a lot of nods to classic FF mythology, but not just pretty much from the comic books and like reimagined from the comic books. There wasn't really anything that harkens back to like the 94 series or anything else. It's pretty much movie universe with comic elements.
Yeah. So is this supposed to be like, was this series intended to be a bridge between FF1 and Rise of the Silver Surfer?
I don't think so. I think the mainly, like I said, how it's kind of loosely based within the movie timeline. It's basically drafting on the fame of the original film because this came out just before or just after.
Came out just before Rise of Silver Surfer.
Yeah. So it could be seen as a bridge, but not an explicit bridge. Like I said, it's kind of in the movie universe.
Right.
Or you could say it's in a comic universe with movie elements, something like that. It's basically, like I said, it's just kind of drafting on the hype and the media from the first film. So, but I mean, all in all, I mean, like the character designs for a lot of the for everybody, I love. Like I liked Ben. They gave him this very, Hulk-like body, which, translates basically walking around in like super sweatpants all the time. Which I thought was kind of cool instead of seeing him walk around in, swimming trunks. And I love the fact that he doesn't really wear shoes except when he's in like his jersey. And I love the fact that when you give him clothes, it doesn't look comical. It's like, designed to his size. And he's got like size quadruple E 54, whatever his foot size is. He's got basically like Nikes in his size, which. And I guess that kind of goes towards the character wanting to feel normal and human, so he can actually do normal things somewhat. I mean, they did have an episode where he gets reverted to normal Ben, but like in the comics and in the movie, he chooses to, sacrifice his happiness for his family. The only thing, like aside from that, the only thing I don't, why did they have to spray paint a four on his chest? Like, we know it's the thing. We know he's part of the Fantastic Four. Just because everyone else has a four in their chest is like, hey, let's just put paint on him. It'll be hip, and the urban kids will get it.
Well, see, yeah, I don't get that either because at least with the movie, when they did that, they gave him pants, and the four was on his pants.
Yeah. And which is a lot of. Some of the comics have been like that. I mean, it's the most traditional thing in the comics was to wear the, pants and boots with like a wife beater made out of unstable molecules with the four in the middle, or he wears like his BVDs with the four on the waistband. So again, that's probably the nitpickiest thing I can say about the Ben redesign is the fact that they spray paint the four, but they still give him like the traditional, the classic, interlocking bricks basically. And to speak about Johnny without flying into a blind rage, I did dig the Johnny redesign because they're trying to make this a little more hip, a little more modern. So they gave him, like the sideburns and the spiky hair, and he looks like Johnny should. Sue, slim, and you would maybe not notice her. So they kind of work elements of that. Mr. Fantastic, like I said, he's probably my favorite version of Mr. Fantastic of all the different animated versions I've seen. Because he does like the crazy stretching, got the kind of shag hair, but he's still got the grandpa white on the side. The one character that I loved right away from the redesign was Herbie. Now, quick cartoon history, you probably know this, a lot of the listeners might not, was the 1970s FF series because the popular rumor was they put Herbie in there instead of Johnny because parents were afraid kids were going to light themselves on fire, which actually isn't true. they were trying to spin Johnny off into his own animated series at the time.
Right, yeah.
So, you know,
And
that's
see, that's what I thought, kind of jumping ahead to what we'll talk about next week. That's what I thought they were going to do when I saw him pop up, and because he popped up in the 90s. He popped up in Spider-Man first, didn't he? In Spidey 94. He popped up in that show first before the Fantastic Four cartoon came out, didn't he?
No, because
Or were
FF
they running
94,
at the same time? I don't
well,
remember.
yeah, I know, I'm pretty sure Herbie showed up in Spidey 94, but I think
No,
FF.
not Herbie, Johnny.
Oh.
Because you said that they wanted Johnny to spin off into his own series. That made me think
Oh, yeah.
that he guessed it on Spidey first, and then the 94 series of FF came out. And that's why I was thinking, oh, well, in the 90s, he almost got his own series as well.
No,
Yeah.
that was just that episode. No, in the 70s, and I'm not saying Johnny Storm isn't a popular character. It's just I don't see how he was that. I mean, the Thing had his own cartoon alongside the FF in the 70s, but that was that where he's like this Benji Grimm, and he's like this skinny kid, and he's got these magic rings that turn him into, you know,
Oh my
the
God.
rock-faced gremlin. Just look it up on YouTube, and you'll be horrified later. No, but the Herbie redesign, get back to the cartoon we're talking about. The Herbie redesign in this is it is an AI that Mr. Fantastic has created that runs the lab in the Baxter Building.
Right.
And that's one of the cool things about the Baxter Building too. It's like the first 20 or 30 floors is normal office building, and then everything else turns into this Star Trek-esque white, you know, abomination. One of my friends is called, that's what he calls the redesign of the Baxter Building in this, with the big holographic Fantastic Four on the top. But no, I like the fact that Herbie's in there and he's this AI and he is a part of the show, but he wasn't thrown in there the way Herbie was in that 70s cartoon.
Yeah. Huh. All right. So, getting into the cast, I'm gonna run down the list here again. A bunch of people, majority of these people, I think maybe four of them I know. You have Hiro Kawanga, Gawa. I don't know. It was Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic, Lara Gilchrist. Oh, that's a
Gilchrist.
no. It's Gilchrist.
Well, it's written like that, but I believe it's pronounced Gilchrist.
Oh,
Whatever.
As Invisible Woman, Christopher Jacot as Human Torch, Brian Dobson as the Thing, Samuel Vincent as Herbie, Paul Dobson as Dr. Doom, Sunita Prasad as Alicia Masters. Guest cast includes Michael Attemthwaite.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, Don Brown, Trevor Duvall, Michael Dobson, Paul Dobson, Brian Drummond, Laura Drummond, Andrew Cavadas, Mark Gibbon, Jonathan Holmes, David Kaye as Tony Stark Iron Man. I have to watch this series just for that, to see David Kaye voicing Tony Stark. Holy shit. Terry Klassen as Impossible Man, Scott McNeil as Annihilus, Colin Murdoch. Oh my God, how'd they land him? Peter New, John Novak, Mark Oliver, John Payne, Alvin Sanders, Rebecca Scheuchet, no clue, Venus Turzo, Lee Toker, and Samuel Vincent as Trapster and Peter Parker. I like the voice cast. Again, like a couple of weeks ago when we talked about Iron Man. At least for the main four, it's pretty much unknown to me. I don't think I've I'm Brian Dobson. I think I've heard him before, but the other ones, it's like no clue.
Yeah, well, I mean, Brian and Paul Dobson have been,
Yeah.
they've been here and there in pretty much
Everywhere.
every anime. Yeah, they've been here,
Yeah.
there, and everywhere. Hiro Kanagawa, I'm not even going to
Yeah,
butcher his
don't
name.
even.
He was Principal Kwan on Smallville for a couple of years.
Oh, sure.
And I love the way he played Mr. Fantastic, is this very. He played him as the classic Mr. Fantastic, the very absent-minded, you know, He's having a nice conversation with Sue, and then the strayest thought goes through his mind. I know how to turn the Baxter Building invisible, you know. And then he'll wander off into his own private world, and Sue's just like, "Oh, Jesus." Laura Gilchrist as Sue Storm. Like, all the voices were serviceable. Like I said, and I'm not blaming Christopher Jacob completely for the douchebaggery.
No, it's the writers.
But it's half his fault, too, because he gave voice to the douchebaggery, which is one of the main, like, the writers, you know, they wrote it like that, but he sells it way too well. I know I keep coming back to this, but biggest dick ever. This Sunita Prasad, who did Alicia Masters, like, the one of the main things, kind of like how they had Michael Clark Duncan play Kingpin in the Daredevil movie, you know, a lot of people were crying havoc when they made Alicia Masters black, you know, played by Kerry Washington in the movie. Yeah. And I come away with that as like, what's the problem? Like, it's an actress. Like, when you're that judgmental about skin color.
The thing is, not to be punny here, but the thing is about the movies is that it's not that she's different because she's black. It's different because she's blind. That's the difference I got. Where Thing, he pretty much in comic history and cartoon history and also in the movies, he sees himself as a monster. Everybody sees him as a monster. She doesn't.
I mean, it's not everybody see, but yeah, he.
Well, right, but
the
I'm,
thing
I'm,
is that I'm he sees himself as a monster, as undeserving of having, you know, even the merest shred of happiness, which is
right.
One of the main reasons why Ben Grimm's like up there in my favorite Marvel characters of all time.
Yeah.
Because this guy has got this, what he sees as an unbearable curse, you know, like a punishment for some sort of past sin. And it's just, and that's what the other thing too about the Fantastic Four is with the things my favorite in there is because everyone else can turn their power off. And we how can't. He hasn't flown into a blind rage at some point in the history of the comics is like, I hate you guys, because I mean, from day one they could all turn it off.
Yeah,
and he's stuck like this. So yeah, I can see that. But no, I mean, and it's kind of like I said, like how, you know, Michael Clark Duncan, not because he's black, but he's really the only actor in Hollywood that they could have had the sheer physical size to play the character of the Kingpin, who's like this mountain of muscle. But yeah, but like having Kerry Washington as Alicia in the movies is kind of like having Idris Elba as Heimdall in the Thor movie, and everyone was like, blasphemy! He's a white god! He's an alien from another realm of existence, and I don't think skin color really matters.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, I like the fact that they reflected that change again, which more locks it into the movie universe.
Right.
You know, with having a black woman in the cartoon. And the same thing with her stepfather as the puppet master. And yeah, a lot of these names, don't recognize a lot of them except for the Dobson brothers. And, you know, my boy, Scott McNeil.
Yeah, Scott McNeil, David Kaye. I also recognize Michael Donovan's name, too, so.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, they got a really decent Lee Tokers in here,
yeah,
and as Terminus, but yeah, all in all, solid voice cast.
Yeah. So let's get into the plot of it. I find this funny that apparently only the opening narration for the international version of the series provides a quick rundown of the team's origin. When top scientist Reed Richards led his team of explorers into space, they were blasted by a shower of cosmic rays. Endowed with the incredible powers, their lives were changed forever as they became the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
And supposedly, that's only in the international version.
Well, then we got a few episodes of the international version in Canada because, like I said, I watched it on both Teletoon and YTV. When it aired.
Well, you guys are technically considered international, even though you're in North America.
Yeah.
you're not in the U.S., so they do.
Yeah.
Even though it's still Region 1, I'm sure they still considered it international.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like literally you would go like take 12 episodes in, you know, 3 months' time, like one episode every Saturday, which is when I watched it.
Right.
Out of that 12, it would go like two episodes with no narration, then one episode with, four episodes with no narration, then three with. You know, so it was, like I said, schizophrenic. But yeah, no, that I would have liked, I kind of liked it better without that narration, because, you know, you see them in their spacesuits getting into the shuttle, the accident on the space station, you know.
Yeah.
And the theme song, just to speak about that quickly, I really, with that da-da-da-da, you know, that sort of thing, it kind of had this kind of a throwback to 60s theme songs, you know, a little jazzy sort of sound like that. And I really dug that. I thought it worked really well for the idea, you know, it's the Fantastic Four. So.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. It depends on what the show is. I know people are going to hate me for this, but when I see shows that do narration and then don't do narration, the first thing I think of is Power Rangers. Because Power Rangers, sometimes, specifically Ninja Storm and Samurai, sometimes there, Samurai more specifically, the current series, there's an intro with narration, sometimes there's not. And it's like, make up your fucking mind. Do it either way. But, I don't know. So yeah. Is there any stories or any of the plot that you really want to go over?
Well, really the only episode that, there's a couple episodes. There was the Hard Knocks, episode 7, which mm-hmm. was the Hulk episode, which, one of the classic things in the comics, was always who's stronger, Ben or the Hulk.
Right. Yeah.
And they even ended as like, Ben's like, I was holding back, and next time I'm going to kick your ass. You know,
they had
stuff like that. There was the Puppet Master episodes were actually really cool. The first one was, you know, okay. It was basically the introduction. The second one was where he's in prison, and he's had, like, basically he made a set of dentures out of the clay. So in prison, he starts making, you know, a mold of the warden, and he starts making, you know, figurines of all these other people, and eventually organizes, you know, this anti-Fantastic Four mania throughout the city, and, you know, just to get revenge. And I love the fact that he starts off as this bitter sculptor. In the span of like a month or two, he's become like this Machiavellian puppet master like this. The Frightful episode, which introduced the Frightful Four as these new heroes, I really dug that because, again, it's a classic concept of FF cartoon history. All-time favorite episode I'll get to, my number one second favorite is The Cure, where he re-cures Ben. You see them, they're going Captain Ultra and Spider-Man, all these Squirrel Girl, and all these other characters are trying to fill that slot, and they eventually bring in She-Hulk.
Yeah.
And they have this great scene where Johnny's, like, taking shots at her when she's still Jen Walters, and then she hulks out, and he's just like, wets his trousers. But my absolute favorite episode, because it's, I wouldn't say perfect, but it is a great representation of one of the classic FF stories, is Doomsday Plus One, where Doombots lash themselves onto the Baxter Building and they launch it into space. And it's been made fun of so many times throughout the years, especially in like Wizard Magazine's Toy Fair magazine. They have this Twisted Toy Fair Theater, which is a comic strip using Migos, and they're always making jokes of, you know, all those Baxter buildings that are in space are going to land eventually. So that's my all-time favorite episode, because it was just a great fun episode. And, you know, because they have like this bitchy prudish neighbor of theirs that lives in the building, and they have this great joke when there's basically about 15 people in Reed's lab, and they're like, that's it, And then Reed's like, well, the constant supervillain attacks have really driven down tent numbers. You know, it's just, that's one of my favorite, because it takes this classic piece of FF history and represents it so well. And I think other than that, the Annihilus episode was fun. And the Contest of Champions, which is way towards the end of the run of the series.
Right, yeah.
Was a lot of fun, too. But yeah, all-time favorite was Baxter Building in Space. So, how about you? What's some of your faves?
Like I said, I need to go back and watch the whole series. I've only seen, like, the first three episodes. So, just from everything that we've talked about today, it's making me want to actually watch the series. Initially, going into this podcast, I thought, oh, God, another shitty remake of a cartoon. Great. Yeah. You know, but because what I equate this to with, and this is just me being whatever, I equate this with Evolution. As far as, you know, me growing up in the 90s, watching X-Men 92, and then 2003 happened, and X-Men Evolution happened, whereas same thing with Fantastic Four 94, I grew up watching that, and I liked it to a certain extent. I never really paid that much attention to Fantastic Four 94, but I liked it here and there, and the same thing with this. It was like, oh God, really? They're doing this? But yeah. No. I mean, just from what we've talked about today, it's making me want to go back and watch the rest of the series. Like I said, I have seen like the first three episodes on Netflix.
Yeah. Douchebaggery aside.
Right.
This is a really good series.
Right. All right. So, how does the show stack up? Obviously, to other shows within the same franchise, 94 is the only cartoon we can compare it with. I guess we could compare it to the movies, but
I would say you could take FF94 and this, it's a bit of a stretch, but you can also kind of compare it to the FF from the 60s.
Right. I mean,
granted, those are really simple stories, more or less just took the plots of the episodes from the comic books, you know, the very, very early FF comic books, which are some of my favorite in the entire history of Fantastic Four. But yeah, it's most comparable to FF94, and you know, like Iron Man, FF94 was a lot better in the second season, and that's really the second season you can compare that up against this, and it stacks up. I think World's Greatest Heroes is a lot better in a lot of respects, you know, story, animation, all that.
Right. Yeah. So what show in the same genre, in the superhero genre, would you equate this to?
Well, like you said, yeah, you can stack it up against Evolution, and I'd throw it against Evolution and the Hulk. It's not quite up around Batman or Justice League, but I think you could throw it up against the Superman series. Just right. in the whole, it's like those World's Greatest Heroes and the Superman TAS really captured the kind of silver age-ness of comic books. And, you know, just like they were fun and they were not too dark and not too light. And they're just a lot of fun to watch. So I would definitely throw it up against Superman.
Yeah. I would assume FF94 is the only one from a previous decade that it would stack up against or be comparable to. So,
but like I said, it'd be a stretch to compare it against the one from the 60s, but while I love that show, it doesn't, it kind of pales in comparison.
It loses it over the years.
Well, like, yeah, I mean, you got to have a love, because that's coming from Hanna-Barbera, simple animation in the 60s, but I still love that show, but you'd be a fool and a communist to try and stack it up against this series.
Right, yeah. All right, so being the IGN replacement crew, 0 to 4, what do you give this?
I'm going to give it a 4, because I want to pick up the collection, and I definitely think if you're a Marvel, if you're an FF fan, if you're a Marvel movies and animation fan, you should definitely add this to your collection.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a a low two, a high three, but more so on the Netflix side because it is on Netflix here in the U.S. Like I said, I do want to go back and kind of get into it and see if the douchebaggery doesn't take away my enjoyment of it. As far as DVDs, volumes 1, 2, and 3 were released here in the U.S. There was also a complete first season that was released, so that has all 26 episodes from the first season, so there's that. We are going to take a break, and we'll be back after this.
Hello, nurses and friends of nurses. Yakko Warner here, and you're listening to a podcast on the Geekcast Radio Network. Lucky you.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, what's up, Ryan?
You know how we talked about doing a podcast? Well, I have some ideas run past you.
Yeah, what do you got?
I thought we should base it on comics.
Well, there's thousands of podcasts about comics. You kind of want to narrow it down a bit.
Well, what about Star Wars?
Still, there's a ton of those out there. What else you got?
We could always do G.I. Joe comics.
There's still a ton of those out there.
What about the 80s franchises?
There's already a few of those as well.
Then let's forget about comics. Let's focus on toys and action figures.
Dude, then we're back to thousands of podcasts.
Well, is anyone covering all those things I mentioned in one podcast?
No one would be crazy enough to do that.
Then that's what we'll do.
Are you serious?
Yep. Come and listen to Star Joe's podcast. You can find us at starjoes.com or find us on iTunes.
Yeah, we cover comics, TV shows, and movies based on Star Wars, G.I. Joe, and all your 80s favorite franchises.
And don't forget about the toys.
How can we forget about the toys? We also do tour reviews to help you decide what to add to your collection.
So come listen to Star Joe's, where we hold nothing back, provide quality entertainment, and remember, the Force will be with you.
Because knowing us is half the battle.
Yo, Joe!
Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the internet's number one and longest-running G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind?
It's Joe news, reviews, and interviews like you've never heard them before, delivered right to your MP3 player.
Our guests include Jason Marsden, Kevin Michael Richardson, and Matt Yang King from G.I. Joe Renegades, Larry Hama, Robert Atkins, and John Barber from IDW Publishing, and many more from around the online Joe community.
Yeah, it's guys talking about Joe. Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Right, and we... Hey, again?
Come on, Chuck. We're just kidding, kinda.
Sometimes Chuck makes fun of himself.
Right, and we... Okay, seriously, this is just getting ridiculous now.
It's What's on Joe Mind, every week on the Geekcast Radio Network, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and iTunes. Download and listen today.
I suppose I still can't say something about Transformers, can I?
Good grief.
What about sports?
That sounds good.
Yeah, that's all right.
Is this thing on? Oh, goody. Why, hello there. It's your dear old Uncle Joker here. I bet you're asking yourself, what could I be possibly doing here, of all places? Well, I'm laughing at the fact that this new podcast presented by Geekcast Radio is called Legends of the Dark Knight. Who the heck knew the bat was so popular? Ugh. Join Steve, Mike, and sometimes Tara for reviews on the greatest DC animated universe cartoon to ever meet Gotham City. So join moi for the talk of the town, or I'll send Captain Clown after you. He gets mighty angry when he doesn't get to have his garbage skull. So put on a nice big smile and join us for the next Geekcast Radio Network podcast, Legends of the Dark Knight.
Are you a fan of gaming? Then check out GCRN's first ever gaming podcast, Extreme Retro Gaming. It's your one-stop shop for emulation, retro, and modern gaming. Hear talk on your favorite games from classic consoles of the current day. The show will feature one-shots on a single game every single episode. So stay tuned in for Extreme Retro Gaming. Only on the Geekcast Radio Network.
We are back. And for you, the listeners of TuneCast Beyond, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Use audibletrial.com/geekcastradio. So, final thoughts on World's Greatest Heroes, sir?
It's a solid animated series. I like the redesigns of many of the characters. The stories aren't... they don't beat you over the head into submission. And I think we all know what I would like to say. I've said it so many times, and I had an almost 5-minute rant earlier in the episode. I think it's just better left unsaid.
Poor Johnny Storm.
What a dick!
Yeah, you know, just throughout our entire conversation here, I usually try to watch everything that I'm going to podcast about. I just, in the last 2 weeks, I just didn't have time. Between being sick constantly over the last month and a half and everything else I've had to watch, I just haven't had time. From what I have seen of Fantastic Four World's Greatest Heroes, it does look like a pretty good series, and I am going to go back and watch it later. So maybe when we do the season wrap-up here on TuneCast Beyond here in a couple weeks, maybe I'll have more to say about the series then. So, yeah.
No, I mean, and as far as the DVD goes, I mean, it's on Netflix. But again, this is a series that I actively would like to get, like, the physical copy.
Right. Right.
I know it's like, it's the argument could be made, well, it's on Netflix and you can just watch it there. I mean, comic books are going digital. Why pay money at the store? Well, it's like, well, no, there's something about having it in your hand, you know?
Right. Right. You're right. But I'm saying, like I said, a couple weeks ago with Iron Man, you know, if it's something that people should watch right now, if it's a series that you need to watch right now and it's on Netflix, that's a good option. I'm not saying don't buy the DVD. Of course, go buy the DVD if you want to get it. That's fine. I'm just saying that it is on Netflix and that is probably your best option to just try it. I mean, hell, the way I look at Netflix is... well, the way I look at Netflix with any show, you're already paying the $8.23, $8.33, whatever the additional tax is. You're already paying the $8 a month. So it's like you're getting the show for free because you're paying the $8 anyway. So you might as well just at least try it once. And if you say, oh, hey, I'd like to watch this more, but I don't want to watch it on Netflix, then you go out and buy the DVD.
No, I agree with you, Mike. So.
Thank you for joining us here on TuneCast Beyond. There are some ways to get in contact with us to leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on each and every episode post. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is TuneCast Beyond. Mine is TF2 and Mike. What is your Twitter?
At JT from Saskatoon.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradio network. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. If you have your own USB headset or microphone on your own computer, go to the website. Go to the right-hand side. There's a button that says Send Voicemail Now, and you can do it right from your computer. We hope you enjoyed this episode of TuneCast Beyond and wish you'll join us next time when we will be jumping back in the DeLorean one last time with Fantastic Four 1994. For now, I am TF2 and Mike with...
JT from Saskatoon.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.